The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, August 11th. If you're listening to the podcast in audio form, as the good podcast gods intended. If you're watching on YouTube, which is perfectly fine too, youtube.com/pick6. It is Wednesday, August 10th. And joining me to check in on some quarterback battles, the one, the only, Tyler Sullivan, aka Sully. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Will? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I got a little nervous, actually. I don't know if you know this.
But, I heard. I did the newsletter today, so I heard the whole podcast.
There you go. I haven't opened the newsletter, so my apologies. I'll go open it so that way your open rate's better than John Breach's.
There you go.
We're a finalist for the People's Choice Podcast Awards for the best sports podcast in the world. If you voted for the first phase, so they do this a weird way. Anybody who voted in the first phase, a quarter of those listeners get an email and they can vote again in this stage.
Only a quarter, not all of them?
Isn't that odd?
Like, I would assume, like, if you voted for pick six and they're like, hey, your vote mattered, it, you know, do it again. Interesting.
That's what the read says. I don't really understand it myself. I haven't gotten an email from, I've tried to check and maybe I missed it. From People's Choice, because I would obviously, I think I would vote for myself at this point. Anyway, I'd said I'd get a tattoo. Yeah, I said I'd get a tattoo if we win the award, and now we're suddenly a finalist. I'm a little sweaty here. But if you did vote, check your email. Maybe you vote again in this stage. You have until September 13th. And if you have a vote, we'd love your support. So September 13th is a while.
Yeah, you got a little bit. Remind me again what the tattoo is. Is it just a Pick Six logo?
No, there's I just sort of threw out. I just didn't think we'd win, so I threw out. I just get a tattoo, and now it's like, you know, at least in the. Let's see, I'm trying to think who won. Fantasy footballers won last year. See, the other problem is, I mean, I don't know if you heard the full discussion. Fantasy footballers won the last 2 years. The 30 for 31 in 2019. The fantasy footballers 3 of the last 4 years. Wow. Four of the last 5 years.
You said a lot of CBS podcasts are on there too. So, we're, you know,
fantasy footballers have won this award 5 of the last 6 years.
Wow. So you're going to stop a dynasty or be in one yourself.
And so if you, well, there's an, but before that, the dynasty was ESPN Fantasy Focus Football. Mm. So like ESPN's, you know, fantasy football show, they won it. Bill Simmons, the last non-fantasy. So Bill Simmons won it in 2010, breaking up a run of a lot for 2008. Look, Skydiver Girls TV, the podcast won in 2008. Different world we lived in.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, they now have named the award the ESPN or the ESPN Fantasy Focus podcast award because they won it a lot. And I guess that made them ineligible to win it moving forward.
So it's like we're in the Super Bowl era, right? Like, you know, that's kind of how I think we should be looking at it. There was championships, but now you're in the fantasy football today, whatever.
But I sort of wonder if the fantasy footballers have also been retired from winning because they went 5-6.
Maybe this, it's like the conference award winners now. Like you're going to get the fantasy football. You already won the fantasy footballers trophy. Now you're moving on to the big one.
Maybe, I don't know. But
it sounds like people just really like fantasy football.
Yeah, fantasy football is just really popular. That's why I'm guessing that. So we have a winning. We have if I had to guess, it'll either be ESPN Daily or Fantasy Football Today that win this and keep me from getting a tattoo. But if I had to get a tattoo, I get a tattoo.
It reminds me of the Office when Andy was the manager and he was like, I will get a tattoo on my butt if you guys do this. And they're like, oh, we can pool our points to do it. They did it in an hour.
He's like, that's not fair. You're an idiot, Andy. Anywho, go and vote for that if you can. And if we win, I will get a tattoo of, well, any thoughts on what I should get? I guess a podcast logo is a little,
it's a little tough.
What if I get fired?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
What if I leave? Maybe I'll leave. Maybe I'll leave one day. Nobody can stop me from leaving if I want to leave.
I'm not here forever. It's also not like it's like called like the Will Brinson Show where it's like, okay, at least it's your name. You don't have any really affiliation after if you walk away.
The Will Brinson podcast would be like my right shoulder would be a little weird too. who's this incredible narcissist? Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking like,
would it be football related?
Maybe I could do a podcast mic, but with a football instead of a microphone.
Yeah, I think that would make sense. It's a weird like podcast or bike gang thing you got going on.
Yeah, but it's just so I don't weird. Hate it. I need something that's like, it's hard to find something that really
encompasses the magnitude of the award.
Yeah, without me having to like, I guess I could get like a little football trophy.
Yeah. Okay. You could do like your spin on the Lombardi kind of.
It's just something. So it's like, oh, wow. Like, what'd you get that tattoo for? I'm like, well, I won an award and I'm an idiot who didn't think I would win. Anyway. That's where we're at. Let's dive into some quarterback battle check-ins. Oh, by the way, actually, you and I mentioned that you were out at, you've been out to Pat's, training camp.
Yep.
And look, I know that every time you come on, we talk about this, but it is kind of in the news like right now. Like it's a big topic. I was on with Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet, and they asked me about it too. And what's the deal with the Pats right now? Is Mac Jones just struggling, and they've switched from a zone running scheme to a power run scheme to a zone blocking scheme, and by all accounts, like it's not going particularly well. If you were a Pats fan, what would be your scale on a panic level 1 to 10?
Yeah, it's pretty high. I think a lot of people are asking around here, at least, you know, with the struggles, and it's really, yes, they're moving to an outside zone, or at least that they've been tinkering with an outside zone. Who knows if that's going to be like the offense, but that's what they've been doing so far in camp. And Mac Jones has looked efficient. Really, all the quarterbacks have looked efficient when they're running 7-on-7s, but the second you introduce a pass rush and the offensive line's in front of you, they can't move the football. They can't complete a pass. Jones is running out and is either throwing the ball away, is trying to cram something in, is throwing an interception. It's just, and they can't even run the ball either. Like it just, there hasn't been a lot of plus plays when they get into those competitive 11-on-11s. Mm. And it was last week when we were interviewing Jones, he was visibly frustrated. You could just tell nothing is working quite right. And so, you know, you wonder, okay, like, is it the personnel? Is it the offensive line? Is it the system? Is it whatever? You know, that remains to be seen.
Is it the defense?
That's the thing. I think that's a cop-out though. Like, sure. I don't think that this is the, like the 2014 Patriots defense where it's got just all these studs and it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, actually the Patriots defense is just elite and this offense is okay. It's just, they're facing the best defense in the NFL every single day. I don't think that that's the case at all. I think the offense is struggling. You know, you have a lot of wide receivers I think this is part of it too. A lot of these guys are contested catch guys. They're not really separators. I think that that's one of the reasons why you're interested in Tyquan Thornton, because he has that speed. So, you know, when there's not that clear window to throw to somebody because they're these kind of contested catch guys, not necessarily a separator in short spaces, I think that that's, you know, helps a scenario where Jones maybe not comfortable throwing the football in certain windows. And when you get a pass rush, you just start to roll out and it's basically the play's over from there.
Yeah,
so it's concerning.
Good.
So it's concerning.
Yeah, it's not good. I do. I think it was, I can't remember. Maybe it was, who writes for Patriots.com?
There's a bunch of guys, but Evan Lazar is
Evan Lazar. Yeah, it was, yeah. Evan Lazar. That's right. Yeah. He wrote like, all right, it's time to like, just like, let's just quit complaining, like quit worrying. And I mean, I know it's tough when you're writing for the team's website too, because you know, you can't just like blow torch the offense. But it's like, he's like, all right, it's time to just quit freaking out about this and let's see what happens when they play another team's defense. But the problem is, if they play another team's defense and this same stuff is happening, then you have to worry about the Pats defense too. You know, like,
right.
Or if like they're worse. You know what I mean, like, because that's the thing, is if this is a Pats defense thing, then the Patriots are probably going to be a pretty good team. If this is a Pats offense thing, then it doubles down on how bad the Pats could be, because that means the defense isn't as good as, you know, it might be.
Right, because it's not this world beater of a defense. They're just beating up on a bad offense, which I would assume any NFL caliber defense could. So, yeah, no, I'm with you on that. So it'll be interesting to see when they play the Giants. I like the Giants -2 in this one as a road favorite.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, top to bottom, at least at the quarterback spot, I think that they're better. Like, I think you're going to see a lot of Bailey Zappe in the second half, and Davis Webb is probably going to get a ton of looks in that second half for New York, who, very similar to Stidham when he was playing with Josh McDaniels in the opener at the Hall of Fame game, he has in-depth knowledge because he was in Buffalo last year under Daboll's system. So that's going to, again, help you kind of get off pretty quickly in this game. So I think that, you know, even if the offense for the Patriots, if the ones play and they get out to some sort of a lead, I think that in the second half it's going to be the Davis Webb show, which is always exciting at this time of the year.
Yeah, that's not what you want to see. Somebody's tweeting, vote so we can get Brinson a Tar Heels tattoo. I'm not getting a Tar Heels tattoo.
Yeah, would you just like, do you have a tattoo? Like, I know you don't have any tattoos, but
I have no tattoos and I have no thought about a tattoo.
So you would never, like, if I ever got one, I'd get this.
No, I would just never get a tattoo.
Yeah.
So now I'm okay. Like, what would I want on my like, what would I want on my body?
Would you do like NC State? Like, is that like too?
I mean, it's like kind of a little redneck.
Kind of like getting the Red Sox tattoo somewhere on me. Yeah, like,
it's also like, oh, so you really? I mean, like, oh wow, like NC State fan likes State enough to get tattoo. You know? It's like, and then like, I at least want like what's the story on that tattoo?
Sure. Okay.
You know, like, I want to, like, if I'm going to get a tattoo, I want to, I mean, and people are like, what's, yeah, it's like, you, I don't want it to be like, oh, just guy has tattoo. And I don't know what I'm saying. I want to be like, oh, look at this tattoo. Just like, if I'm going to get a tattoo, I want it to encompass something about what, you know.
Reflect the reason why you got it.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't want it. And I kind of would be fine losing this award just to not get a tattoo, which is, speaks volumes about me as a person, I guess. Anyway. Quarterback battle check-ins. That's good. Good update on the Pats, though. It does sound like, Patricia's the OC, JoJo's the QB's coach, and Belichick is still hands-on.
Yeah, that's the case. That's what's happening.
Mm. Right. It's bad luck. Anyway, Mitchell Trubisky is tightening his grip. The Steelers starting quarterback. Brian DiArdo was, I don't know if he was out there at Steelers.
I'm not 100% sure. I know he was in Canton.
On it. I don't want to turn off my ad blocker, CBS. Stop. I'm not giving you my money. But it does feel like that this is very much a fait accompli when it comes to who's going to end up winning this job. And it's just going to be Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, but like at the same time, I don't know what really this necessarily means, right? Like, yeah, sure, this means that Mitchell Trubisky's got the job for week one, but all right, like what happens if he stinks up the joint in week one and all of a sudden he's Mitchell Trubisky from what we saw in Chicago? you have a first round pick in Kenny Pickett right behind him. The second there's any sort of questioning or what or poor play, you have a guy like you drafted a guy in the first round. At some point, he's going to play. I know that, you know, I guess you can make the same case with Mason Rudolph at some point too, but you had Ben Roethlisberger, you know, is entrenched as the starter. It's not the same thing. You drafted Kenny Pickett to at some point be the guy. And so if Trubisky looks great and is good for 1 year, then that's perfect. That's fine. He can shape his image and go somewhere else or stay in Pittsburgh. But at some point, they invested a first round pick. I think at some point in 2022, we're going to see Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
You think?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying no, it's not. But I think the question is, what is this like? There's several like mile marker points where it's like, okay, this is where if the Steelers are X, like it's going to be Kenny Pickett time. For instance,
right. I guess I should clarify that. Like if Mitchell Trubisky starts off 5-0, okay, well then they're obviously not. And right, he's playing well.
Kenny Pickett, right?
Yeah.
So they're at Cincy, New England at home, at Cleveland. Like I mean, I'm almost certainly without Deshaun Watson on Prime Video. The Jets at home. I mean, it's not unreasonable to be 3-1 there.
No,
you know what I mean. Or even I mean, 2-2. I mean, you know, you can lose the Pats and you start 0-2 and lose the Bengals and the Pats and then beat the Browns and the Jets. Anyway, then you're at Buffalo, Buccaneers at home, at Dolphins, at Eagles. So then that's your Week 9 bye. So what do you think the record needs to be to ensure Mitchell Trubisky continues on as the starting quarterback?
It has to be above 500.
Probably.
If you're 500 and you're kind of winning in spite of him, then you're going to have those conversations. Like, do we make this switch? And especially, you know, if it's, I mean, obviously if you're under 500 and Baltimore and Cincinnati are kind of running away with the division at that point, and again, it's early enough that
I don't think 3-5 guarantees Pickett comes in.
It depends on how 3-5 looks. Like if you're competitive against, you know, Tampa and you're competitive against Philadelphia and those Buffalo heavy hitters, right? You know, then okay, you can say like it's just, you know, they're just good teams. They're Super Bowl contenders. We're right there. Then that's fine. But if you've just beaten
like the Browns, the Jets, and the Dolphins, and you've gotten smoked by these other two teams, and the offense isn't working very well, yeah, I could see that being a
right. Like if the defense is winning you these games, if TJ Watt's just an animal and he's, you know, they're just absolutely shutting down these offenses, but you're only winning the game like, you know, 17-10, Trubisky's inefficient, then okay, yeah, you're going to have questions like, hey, can Pickett take us to that other level to match what the defense is doing?
I love it. Tomlin said they're making it difficult for us. He just told our own friend of the pod, of course, colleague Brian McFadden, this on CBS Sports HQ. It's tough to manage three capable guys, but they're forcing us to do it because they're making the necessary plays. They're anticipating. The timing has been good and the accuracy has been good. Mitch's silver bullet, if you will, is his fluidity and mobility. He's a really good athlete. Rudolph throws a really good deep ball. Pickett has been steady Eddie. Kenny P, I don't think you can get him in an environment where he gets flustered. We saw that at Pitt and it's been the same. It doesn't matter what drill or what environment you put him in. He's steady Eddie and really cool. Tomlin confirmed that Trubisky would be the team's starting quarterback if Pittsburgh was to play a meaningful game tomorrow. Means a lot, Trubisky said. Ever since I came here for the opportunity to start and lead a team. I definitely have been given that, and I'm just trying to take advantage of that every day. Yeah, I think I would have a hard time seeing them bench Trubisky before that bye. Like, that's a convenient
bye. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
If you're 5-3, I think if you're 4, I think 2-6 and he's sitting. And maybe he sits before then if it's like, you know, you're 1-6 coming in, you know. Anyway, I just think they're 2-6, you're sitting. 3-5, you're thinking about it. Like we said, depending on how he's been playing, 4-4, I still think they're going to let him go. Like, let Trubisky keep playing, because after the bye, you do have to play the Ravens twice. But you have the Saints and Bengals at home at a Kreiser Stadium in Pittsburgh, PA. You're at the Colts, at the Falcons, at Panthers, Raiders, and Browns at home. So, like, you know, the Ravens games are both tough, but the rest of those games are very, very winnable.
For sure.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
And just my thing too is with Trubisky, I know like this week they're saying, okay, he's having a good week, he's pulling away. But you gotta remember last week he was getting crapped on. Like, he was 0-for-16 in those seven shots from the 2-yard line, just trying to punch it in. Like, and it's like, oh boy, here we go, Trubisky. So you got to remember, it ebbs and flows during training camp in the preseason. And so, yes, he might start for you right now, but let's see what these games look like. If Kenny Pickett, when the lights turn on, actually looks decent, then, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I think that's probably right. So a lot of Trubisky, maybe some Pickett. And Pickett's preseason play will definitely impact how quickly they might be willing to go to him as a starter in place of Trubisky. Geno Smith will get the first preseason starter, remains in the lead for the Seahawks over Drew Lock. I think people kind of treat this as a joke, but I'm telling you, I feel like I am locked into Pete Carroll's plan. He wants to shrink football games, play good defense, run the football, and try and steal victories in close one-score games. He is recreating the 2011 Seahawks formula. Now, they went 7-9, so it's not like this is a great plan. they finished third in the division, but there are enough one-score games where, like, if things had broken if they gotten a little bit luckier in a couple of spots, they could have easily gone like 10-6. And won the division and made the playoffs. Or I guess 10-6 would have made the playoffs. But they could have finished 9-7. You missed the playoffs at 9-7, but you have, you know, Travaris Jackson as your quarterback, and people are like, all right, Pete Carroll's doing a good job. And then you draft Russ, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like that's what they're trying to reboot, not reboot the Legion of Boom, because that's asking too much, and it's, you know, a decade later, but it is almost like exactly a decade later. And I think they're trying to build up this defense through the draft picks they got and to build up this running game, and then hope to find a quarterback in the later rounds and then, you know, next year or so, while just sort of, you know, just doing this like just horrendously unwatchable version of professional football.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, right? I mean, obviously this is the option.
I'm not saying it's a good plan.
No,
it's the plan.
A better plan because they're in the NFC. If they're in the AFC, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It makes no sense. You have to, you know, there's so many good quarterbacks. There's so much talent over there. It's in so many different teams competing for a playoff spot. You could, in the NFC, I feel like you could find that team that like sneaks in. You're like, wait a minute, really? They made the playoffs? I feel like you could see that more this year than maybe in years past. But, you know, as much as we're saying, okay, Geno Smith has a full grasp, or, you know, whatever, he's got the lead for the thing over Drew Lock, I wait on this quarterback competition, quote unquote, until we find out what happens with Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm just waiting to kind of really solidify my opinion on that. Because if all of a sudden Jimmy Garoppolo gets cut, everybody's pointing to the Seattle Seahawks and saying he's an immediate upgrade over Smith and Locke. It makes no sense not to go get him now that he's free from the San Francisco 49ers. Even if they were going to trade you to him, you'd be paying a premium. You'd be taking on that contract. So for me, it's kind of just a holding pattern. Yeah, sure. If Smith is the guy that starts the year or whatever, or is going to get all the preseason reps with the ones, but the second Garoppolo or somebody like Garoppolo becomes available, Seattle's the logical destination because they still need that higher ceiling guy at the quarterback spot.
See, that's, yeah. I mean, look, I think Garoppolo would be the perfect blend of like upside and I know people don't think he's a ton of upside, but I mean, like he has more upside than Geno Smith.
Yeah.
And maybe less upside than Drew Lock, but a better floor. Like you got a higher floor than Geno and like or you got a higher ceiling than Geno, but a higher floor than Drew Lock. And I think that's what the Seahawks would love. If the 49ers end up cutting him, they're definitely going to do it as late as humanly possible, which may make it too difficult for the Seahawks to get him ready for week one, which may also make it, you know, like if Jimmy G's like, look, if you're not going to start me, yeah, like, is that where he definitely wants to go? Because I think he would consider Houston. Carolina has to be, I mean, you think Carolina's out on him now?
I would say so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Houston, I think you brought up Houston last week. It was a good point with the Caserio connection. And, yeah, you know, even though they like Davis Mills and want to see what he can do. It does feel like Seattle is like just the obvious landing spot for him.
But not only that, like, you know, yes, that's possible. But the Jimmy Garoppolo, I think this is how we should say it. We need to see the Jimmy Garoppolo shoe drop. Because if all of a sudden Garoppolo goes to Houston, is Davis Mills available? Because then I think that he's an upgrade over Geno Smith and Drew Lock. There's upside there. And then you look at even, you know, I wouldn't say this, but like if all of a sudden Baker Mayfield wins the job, does Sam Darnold become available? Is then do you have that discussion? Is he a better option than Geno Smith or Drew Locke? I would say no, but you have those conversations. So if all of a sudden these guys are getting cut, people are being signed, things could shake loose, similar to what we saw, obviously not to the ceiling, but similar to what we saw in the offseason.
Yeah. So that's one to watch. Obviously, the 49ers are not, they listed Jimmy G as fourth on the depth chart. They're going to cut him.
Right.
Or if they can't.
I think Kyle Shanahan said today that he has not heard anything regarding a Jimmy Garoppolo trade.
Yeah. I mean, who's calling him?
Yeah. Nobody. Everybody in the league knows that if they just wait him out, they're going
to
cut him.
Well, the only team, I believe Breach said this, so I'm just banking on listening to him, but like the only team that can afford to take on Jimmy G's salary cap number in a trade is the Cleveland Browns. But they don't want to trade. They don't want to give up a pick for Jimmy Garoppolo and eat up the rest of their salary cap space if Deshaun Watson's coming back.
Right.
And they don't know. And I mean, I don't think he's going to play a game this season personally.
Who, Garoppolo or Watson? Yeah, I don't think Watson's playing. So yes. Okay, fine.
Because Roger Goodell said at the owners meetings where they're ratifying the sale of the Broncos. He's like, look, he used the word predatory, which Stu Robinson used too, and just said that they're going to try and be aggressive in getting this discipline done. And then I just think it's going to be tough to get an injunction in time to start the season, certainly, because any judge is going to be like, look, dude, like you were agreed to be suspended 6 games. So why would I grant an injunction for week one? You weren't going to be playing anyway. Like, talk to me in October.
And the Browns organization also said that they would respect the ruling or whatever.
They were thrilled at 6 games.
Yeah.
And now that they know it's not going to happen.
That's, I guess, one of the, when we're talking about the Seattle situation, yes, the thorn in their side could be a Watson suspension, which then incentivizes the Cleveland Browns to pursue Jimmy Garoppolo. And then Garoppolo makes that decision. Do I go to Cleveland for 1 year and do that thing? Or do I go to Seattle? I would still say Seattle's more intriguing if I'm Garoppolo, because that's a place I know if I play well, I can stay. I don't want to be in this situation again. And
you're one and done in Cleveland.
They just gave a $230 million to Deshaun Watson. You have 1 year.
Yeah, the only way you're not a one year and done is if Deshaun Watson can't meet whatever criteria Roger Goodell has for him to be reinstated.
Right, that's true. And then even if you win the Super Bowl, I don't know if you're staying.
Probably not.
That's the highest of highest ceilings, and I still don't know if you stay.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, you could go win a championship and they're like, well, thanks for winning us the first Super Bowl title in Cleveland history. Of course, we will have to be letting you go now for this.
I mean, it was the Nick Foles situation. Like it's not like it's uncommon. We've seen that. And so for me, if I'm Garoppolo, I'm looking at Seattle because that's the clear place for me right now that needs a quarterback. Getting a
double revenge on.
And you go after your old team within the division twice a year. But like, that's a team that you have potential staying power in. You don't want to have another situation where you're having another quarterback coming in and kind of taking you off course.
Oh, by the way, one quick news note thing before we go to break. Sean McVay got an extension. Confirm that to a Seth Wickersham story. And then we later confirmed it to reporters after it was mentioned in a Seth Wickersham story. Lengthy story we're checking out on ESPN.
They said he didn't announce it because they're waiting for Les Snead to get his extension to do a kind of a joint thing. So that's coming down the pike too.
Yeah. So they're going to, basically they want both and this is what good organizations do when you've got a team, it's easy to do it coming off a Super Bowl win. You're like, sure, take some money, bro. But you line up the GM and the coach on the same timeline. That way everybody's sort of there's no competing interest, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Couple more quarterback battles that we'll discuss coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
That was Nada and I had gotten our the commercial type break timing down to like a millisecond, and I screwed it up there, and I feel bad now. It was like off by like half a second, or half a beat, because I my beat was off. It just threw me off. I threw him off. Sorry. Anyway, not that anybody listening cares. The Panthers. I believe that the latest buzz in Carolina is that Baker clearly looks like Baker's just going to win the job, but Sam Darnold's like, they're not going to give it to Baker. They're also not going to give Ikem Ekwonu the starting left tackle job. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. And I think Matt Rhule said, it's been very impressive about how much he's been able to grasp over the course of the past 10 days in terms of Mayfield kind of getting with the offense and obviously coming somewhat late to the party. You know, obviously he was there before training camp, but again, late to the relative offseason preparation.
He's been there a year. I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, I think that we all thought this, like, it's, yeah, I think it's Baker's kind of job to lose here. I think that Rhule said too, he wouldn't announce a starter until at the very least after the New England Patriots game. So that's week two of the preseason. So, you know, I'll be there next week. So I'll be able to kind of tell you what's going on when they have the joint practices with the Patriots.
Oh, I was like, you're going out of Spartanburg. I was like, that's weird. I was like, that's my job. So they're coming up. That'll be. Is that the first joint practice? Is that the
first for New England? Yeah.
But they have a preseason game this week.
Yes. So
so we'll see against the Giants, but then the joint practices. That'll be interesting too. Like, how does the Pats offense? You know, as we talked about earlier, how do they look against a pretty good Panthers defensive line?
Oh yeah. You know? So there's a lot of storylines coming out of that one. So that'll be interesting. But again, Mayfield, you don't acquire Mayfield and not give him the inside track here. Like, if you were confident enough in Darnold, he would have to really stink next to Sam Darnold for him not to be the week one quarterback.
Okay, so they would even announce who's going to start week one of the preseason.
I don't think so. I think they said they're both going to play. So, you know, read with that what you will.
Darnold got first team reps when the Panthers did practice, and then I think they've alternated a little bit on who got first team reps. I mean, look, credit to Matt Rhule for not allowing this to become like, you don't want it to become like, you don't want to be like, Baker's our guy. You know, like, you don't want to say that. I don't think, I mean, even if you're like, Baker's clearly winning this job, like, you don't want, there's no need for you to say that now. Cause what if Sam Darnold plays better in the preseason? You know, what if Baker gets, you know, what if Baker's just doesn't play well once the lights come on? I mean, I think we'll get good Baker this year. Cause he's being motivated, spiteful. You know, he's, you know, impressing Ben McAdoo. Baker, since he's been here in the last 2 weeks, been pretty impressive. McAdoo said, by the way, speaking, this is the first time he's been talking about him. And Rhule said what he's done in 10 days of camp is pretty impressive. He's making real big jumps, as you mentioned. He's got that edge of, again, that edge of him. I like that. This is what McAdoo said about Mayfield. You read this, what McAdoo said about Baker in 2018?
No, what was it? I saw this yesterday.
I remember seeing it a few weeks ago. Like, McAdoo was unemployed and was talking to, ESPN? Maybe it was ESPN. But he said, he's got that edge to him. I like that. He's going to lead. They're going to follow him. I just don't see a lot of pro-style football in his college tape. And if you're short, you have to be able to make up for some way, somehow. And personality doesn't do that. I didn't think he was a great athlete. This guy is kind of like a pocket quarterback that is short and with small hands. That's what I worry about. That's not like an unfair assessment of Baker Mayfield. No, it's just awkward when the team that you take over for trades as OC trades for him, and you have to sit there and, like, you know, be like, hey, you know those things I said in 2018, and I had you fifth behind everybody else. Might be. Yeah, you just have to kind of, you know, move through it. And
but I don't think it's out of bounds, because I think I was reading the Charlotte Observer, and it said that he was getting a bunch of balls batted down at the line of scrimmage. So it's like,
that's just Baker Mayfield.
That's part of the game. That's part of his package.
And it's like, Ben McAdoo's not supposed to, like, fluff up every quarterback in the draft just because he might have to coach one of them down the road.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, he gave his evaluation. It's fine. Plus, it gives Baker a little motivation. Another, like, he's like, I'm screw you, OC. I think Baker and Steve Smith noted, and, you know, Steve Smith obviously talks to people. He's there at training camp. He talks to people there. He said, if Baker starts week one of the preseason, it's, quote, over, which I would probably agree with.
What do you,
I guess maybe you can,
what does he mean by that exactly?
He means that Baker's got the job.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah.
But you could go week one, Baker first, Sam second. Week two, Sam first, Baker second.
Right. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think I agree with that either.
But because again, you could just, like, because again, like, we don't know. I think we talked about this last week. We still don't really know, like, what the dress rehearsal week is now, right? Like,
right.
Exactly. You know, is it week one? Is it week three? Is it week two? You know,
the Panthers are going to be all three. Like, the Panthers will probably play their quarterbacks in all three.
The one thing that I think is interesting with the Panthers in terms of, like you were saying, like, Rule shouldn't just name his guy right away. There is a case to be made, though, to say, like, all right, you should have your guy at least somewhat figured out midway through the preseason, I would say, because you probably have the hottest seat in the NFL, at least one of them. Yeah. So you might as well prepare your, if you know you're going with Baker, give him as many of the reps as humanly possible so you can ensure yourself that you get off to a hot start and you're not fearing for your job in week two.
Yeah, I think the argument would be that you don't, it's like, are people, this is my guess, is people are people gonna be like, okay, can you explain, like, you know, if Sam Darnold's your backup, are you just gonna get grilled about Sam Darnold questions, it's not gonna be as bad as they might think it would be. Like, the questions for the Panthers again, I'm not saying anything bad about the people who cover the Panthers, but it's like, this is not like the Jets or the Giants or the Patriots or the Eagles, right? Like, you're not in this market where you're just going to get grilled about, like, every single little thing. Like, I think everyone probably expects it to be Baker.
So, but it's also not, Baker, yeah, it's also not like it's like Pittsburgh where you have a first round pick sitting behind the guy, yeah, with the Trubisky, where it's like, all right, like, what are we doing? I think we all, like, people Darnold saw what Darnold was last year.
He's only on the team because they picked up his fifth year option. Yeah. Like, if they hadn't picked it up right away and they'd waited and they decided not to do it, he wouldn't be on this team. Like, they wouldn't have re-signed him. It would be Baker and, or maybe they, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I think it's almost certainly going to be Baker, though. And, but I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Rhule pushes it as far back as he can. And I think Baker probably knows it. They probably tell him a little early, just like, hey, look, we're going to announce it here, but, you know, who knows? We do have two clear cut battles that are settled. The Falcons are going with Marcus Mariota. And the 49ers, Ova. You can say over for us, Sully.
Ova.
Ova. Oh, that's that deep, like, Ova. The Ova. It's Ova. And the 49ers made it clear that Trey Lance is their guy. A problem with either one. By the way, it looks like we're going to get zero rookie quarterbacks starting this year.
Yeah, that's true. So. I mean, like, Lance is the closest thing we got to, like, a first-year guy, but obviously he started some games last year, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just been a while since that's happened, I think.
Yeah. Obviously last year there was a ton.
Yeah.
Even before that was Burrow and Tua, and
before that,
yeah, did Tua start right out of the gate? I forget.
No, they went with Fitz. They were flip-flopping.
Oh, that was Fitz. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, but you had Burrow, and then you had Herbert. Herbert started.
No, he didn't. It was out of the gate.
Right. But they accidentally plunged the needle into Tyrod Taylor's kidney.
Which is the most underratedly crazy story in the past five years in the NFL. Because it sparks Herbert. Like, that's crazy.
Hey, but, like, they weren't even going to start Herbert until they accidentally stabbed.
They stabbed their quarterback
to get Herbert in there. All right, so 2019 Daniel Jones didn't start right away.
Because, I don't think so.
No, because Eli was still playing.
Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tyler started right away. All right, I'm just trying to think if we can find a 2018, you know, Baker. Oh, actually, Tyrod Taylor. Again, Baker had to wait for Tyrod Taylor. But Sam Darnold started right away, and so did Josh Allen, rather unfortunately. I mean, Josh Rosen, excuse me. Josh Allen started too, I think. 2017, we had Trubisky didn't start right away. Mahomes didn't start right away. Deshaun Watson didn't start right away.
Oh, interesting.
Because remember, they had Tom Savage play the first half.
That's true.
Mahomes definitely didn't play. Did Trubisky play week one? I don't think so. No, because Mike Glennon started. Wow. So, okay. So that's kind of shocking that that's, is that the last time? With a quarterback, no quarterback start coming out of training camp. Unless I'm missing somebody from that class.
I'm trying to look through that class to just triple check.
Davis Webb, CJ Beathard, Nate Peterman. Deshaun Kizer didn't start, did he? He might have. Let's see. He started 15 games in his first year. So let's see, 2017. He did start week one.
Wow.
Deshaun Kizer keeping the streak alive.
Well, again, this is one of those things. You know, there wasn't a lot of quarterback. This wasn't a particularly great quarterback class. So, you know, there was no, it was not like a Lawrence clear cut number one pick, Kyler number one pick type of situations where it makes sense to start them week one. Kenny Pickett's the only one that went in the first round. And we're, we were just obviously just talking about him. Like, it's no sure thing that we might not even see him this season. We might not see him until the bye if Trubisky hangs on to it. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those fluky years, but that's interesting.
All right, Blake Bortles didn't start. So I went ahead and ran through because you had like Mariota, Jameis, Wentz, and Goff. I'm at 2014. Blake Bortles did not start the first game of the season. God, the 2014 draft class was so crazy. He had like Odell Beckham, who came on late. Jimmy G obviously didn't start the first game of the season. Did Derek Carr start the first game of the season? Johnny Manziel probably did.
No, that might have been a Matt. Was that a Matt Flynn?
Ooh. Hey, Deshaun Kizer kept that streak alive. That's amazing. Let's see. Derek Carr, game logs. That is fascinating. Another just a fascinating. Oh, Derek Carr did start week one. All right.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, do we want to see how far back we have to go to find this?
I guess.
Nothing else. We're going to talk about freaking Trey Lance some more.
Trey Lance, he's going to be the starter.
Oh, 2013 might get it unless EJ Manuel started week one or Mike Glennon. Because that, remember, that was the very famously not great. Yep, EJ Manuel started week one. All right, man. 2012. I wonder how far back. Luck, Griffin. Yep.
For 2011, sure.
2011, Cam Newton.
For sure. Yep.
2010, Bradford, I believe. Surely. I mean, see, the thing is, like, back when we're in the old CBA, you didn't draft somebody. Yeah, Bradford started 16 games. You didn't draft somebody first overall and not start them.
Right. Especially, yeah, especially when you're paying like
$60 million. Yeah. 2009, Matthew Stafford. Yep. 2008, Matt Ryan started week one.
Jamarcus Russell definitely started in 07, right?
I would think so. Brady Quinn did not because he was holding out. Friend of the pod, Brady Quinn. Haven't talked to Brady in a while. I wonder how he's doing. I hope well. Jamarcus Russell only started one game. This would be wild if it was this. He was inactive. Is it 2004? Is it going to be 2007 that gets it for us? It's got to be a quarterback.
Yeah, he did not start week one. Is that right?
Yeah, he did not.
He was inactive.
Let's see.
2007 might be it.
Kevin Cobb. I forgot Kevin Cobb was drafted then. John Beck. John Beck might have started week one for the Dolphins, to be honest, which is sad. nope. Let's see. Just researching on the pod, baby. No, it wasn't Drew Stanton either. Right, I think it's 2007 then. Because no Russell. Yeah. Russell was Kevin Cobb. No, he didn't start any games in 2007. All right, 2007. Wow. Quarterback taking first overall. Would not have guessed that. So that thing I said about the new CBA, the old CBA, clearly lying.
What a time.
Thanks to Marcus Russell. So it's been since 2007, the last time a quarterback, we didn't have a single rookie quarterback as the week one starter for an NFL team.
That's insane. That's a long time, man.
Yeah.
I think we're getting to a point too, just like on a bigger, big picture quarterback thing. Like, we are getting to a point now where like all these teams like have quarterbacks. So these draft pools that are coming in,
it's saturated.
Yeah, it's going to get really interesting. Like, you know, like the Jimmy Garoppolos, the Ryan Tannehills of the world, they're going to be struggling to find jobs, especially when those teams like Seattle and, you know, obviously San Francisco's got their young guy. Like, you're going to get a point here where these young quarterbacks are taking over. They're cheaper, and you'd rather bank on that upside than try to get a retread.
Well, and it also goes hand in hand with what I've been saying about, like, people are like, all right, who's the first coach fired? I'm like, well, I don't know, man. It's hard to find somebody. Like, Matt Rhule obviously is, like, you know, the number one candidate, but they could probably give him the full season if they're anywhere near 500. Yeah. And when you look at all these teams, almost every team has either traded for, signed an extension with, or just recently drafted a high pick. Like, I mean, and when you're in that spot, it's just hard to find somebody who's going to get fired, right? Or they have somebody like have an established quarterback. Who is the obvious? I mean, the Panthers would qualify, probably the Falcons, maybe the Titans, but like, you know, a team that ends up with the number one overall pick next year that is like definitely taking a quarterback, you know?
Right. Like, very rarely are you going to see like what the Cardinals did when they went from Rosen to Kyler. I mean, like, yes, that can happen sometimes, but yeah, like if all, like, what's an interesting one is like if Chicago gets the number one overall
Chicago's pick, yeah, for sure.
What happens?
Well, especially when you hear like Roquan Smith say, and we talked about this yesterday, but it's like Roquan Smith says, you know, this new regime has not been treating me in good faith. It's like, oh, I wonder what their deal is with Justin Fields then. Like, could it be a similar situation? And if it is.
But then he immediately becomes the guy, you know, like if Justin, let's say they get the number one pick, Justin Fields becomes available, Garoppolo's market next year, or, you know, Tannehill's market, if all of a sudden they decide to move off him, they all get bumped down again. So all these veteran guys, you know, this would be a special case with a former first round pick, you know, going into year three in Fields being available. So, like, you know, those veterans typically would get jobs might not have them.
Correct. Yeah. Instead of taking on the safe veteran, they're like, oh, I want to go get Fields because he's got a ton of upside. Or somebody's trading for Fields in that case. Yeah. So, yeah, very interesting year for the quarterback pool. And it's been 15 years at least since the last time. And I mean, I'll probably quadruple check this research when we get done. But actually, we're done now. You know what? Let's call it off. Great stuff as always, Sully. Best underrated Patriots wide receiver, actually, from Craig Raskin in the comments.
Best underrated, like, just of this year?
I think this year, yeah.
This year? I will go Tyquan Thornton. I think he's actually, like, believe it or not, a Patriots wide receiver draft pick is going to be good. I think he's going to be good.
Oh, there we go. I like it. All right, Tyquan Thornton. There you go, Craig Raskin. That's your guy for fantasy to draft. I might have to grab some of him at Underdog. Sully, as always, thanks for hanging out, buddy. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Make sure to vote for the podcast award so I can get a tattoo. For Sully, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.